Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Desay. I traded up this week. I got rid of Ken Evans and brought back in Sean Desay, who is back from his vacation to various sundry points of the universe. So Sean is back. The show, as always, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino and Onnit Supplements, onnit.com/wowshow. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you very much.
How are your travels?
Travels have been great. I'm really getting to learn the Midwest a lot more than I imagined.
Are you excited about that?
I mean, it's not exciting. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm getting to see different parts of,
sure,
of the country and or I should say the Midwest, really. And I mean, you know, it's interesting, but all it is, you know, it's one place, another, just different accents with people. That's all.
Just different accents and different hotel rooms, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on again in the world of the UFC. We will talk about Pat Healy getting busted for pot and whether or not the ends justify the means, or if you will, the fines justify the crime. We'll talk. They released a UFC fighter contract, so you can kind of get a glimpse inside what it's like to be a UFC fighter. But we start with FX in Brazil, as Vitor Belfort takes on Luke Rockhold. 10-1 Luke Rockhold. Injuries kept him out for quite some time, so he's anxious to get back in. He's been saying all week that his mind and his body feel ready to go, and you as a coach and fighter understand the second part, but his wallet is more ready to go because he obviously,
oh, yeah,
as a Strikeforce fighter, you know, you're not getting the George St. Pierre sort of endorsements and the deals like that. So if you're not fighting, you're not eating, essentially.
Yeah, it's. I mean, at all levels, from,
sure, yeah,
you know, if you're 5-0 and below, or 8-0 and above, it's just hard. If you're not fighting within, I would say, 4 to 5 months, it's hard to, you know, keep the mouth and belly full.
We talked last week about Shane Carwin's retirement and what an interesting model he was. He never quit his job. When he had the interim champion, he was still a full-time engineer, you know?
Yeah, smart.
And this is a guy who, yeah, smart, because if an injury, and it did, lays him off, he still has a real job to fall back on. He doesn't have to worry about that. Luke Rockhold, however, has to worry about Vitor Belfort for a number of reasons. The TRT, which has pretty much shadowed this entire event, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Well, because I think you and I both agree that at some point we need to make a decision that this stuff just isn't going to be tolerated. And I would like to get your take. I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast last week, and he was talking about this, and I had never thought of this aspect of TRT and the amount of people under 40 that are taking it in the UFC, and that when you...
Was this the podcast with...
Dan Hardy?
Dan Hardy, yeah.
Yeah, where he's talking about taking the shots to the dome or the shots to the head, and eventually your brain goes, yo, man, we want to go on a little bit longer, yeah, so I'm going to turn down your testosterone so you remember not to fight. And so these guys are artificially tricking the brain back into saying, nope, I'm totally ready to fight. I'm taking this thing. I'm ready to go. And some guys see it as not only a cheat, but certainly a cheat against nature and dangerous, ultimately, for the sport.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely dangerous. Now we're talking about the body chemistry and, you know, the biology, obviously. So things are going to be really, it's tricky. I mean, obviously, you can manipulate a lot of things. But I would say the best way to, if you want to do a different analogy and break it down even better, let's say you're sparring with a really thick headgear.
Okay.
And your training partner is wearing 16-ounce gloves. Well, when he's hitting you in the head, you know, after, let's say, 3 or 4 months of this sparring, you're going to be like, all right, I can take these punches. Well, the minute, let's stick with boxing gloves. Let's say you go down to a 10-ounce glove and the headgear comes off. That same punch is going to have a tremendous effect. And next thing you know, that punch either hurt you or you're knocked out, one or the other, and you're confused and you don't know why. And so I think, like, this the way the TRT is working, like, it's like that headgear example I just gave. I think these guys are able to use this. It gives them, you know, faster recovery times. Forget about the strength, even though that comes part of it.
Sure.
But, you know, I would say, you know, honestly, I believe these guys are using it for faster recovery, you know, or if they are injured, to get, you know, better and faster.
Because there's a lot of people don't know this, and so I say it every time we talk about steroids and testosterone and that sort of thing. There are a million different ways to take testosterone, and one of them is exactly what you said. It's meant to make injuries heal faster, if you would call it the Wolverine steroid.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the one to make me look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is a totally different type of steroid.
Right. Or even if you want to train harder or longer, but to actually, like, physically, like the Incredible Hulk type thing, that... I mean, that's a totally different steroid, you know? I mean, that's a different area that we're going to. So, and it is not fair. I do agree. It's not fair for the young guy who's like, hey, you know, hey, old man, if you're on it. But here's the funny part. Like what you said with Joe Rogan, it's not these old guys that are on it. I mean, we've got some guys.
No, you've got guys that are taking damage to the head or whatever it is. The body is just doing it naturally. And you see, I think the sexiest case is going to be for Anderson Silva. Here's a guy who's almost into his 40s, who's annihilating people and really has not been busted for this. Nobody's even thought about this. He's been in the same shape essentially his entire career. But for me, the more compelling case is a guy like who recently lost to a TRT Vitor Belfort, and that's Michael Bisping. You know, here's a guy
and Chael Sonnen.
And Chael Sonnen, yeah. For sure. But here's a guy in Michael Bisping, never been dinged for anything at all.
Right.
A gamer on every aspect, whether you like him as a person or not, this is a guy who comes to fight, and unfortunately loses to Vitor Belfort in, again, a very pivotal match for his career, and it's marred with the fact that Vitor got an exemption to take TRT. And so here you have Luke Rockhold making his debut in the UFC, been off for 2 years, hungry to get back at it, knowing in the back of his mind that he's fighting against a guy who has an advantage that the UFC, at this point, has okayed.
Yeah, he's basically going in with a beast.
Yeah.
It's safe to say that. I mean, you can look back at all the other guys that have been popped for steroids or any other type of peds, and you can almost see the difference in their body types. I mean, remember when Chris Leben got popped?
Yeah, I think the only one I would disagree with you is Hoyce really never looked that awesome when he got popped.
Oh, when he fought Sakuraba in LA?
Yeah.
In that K1? Yeah.
He didn't look like Vitor. If you look at Vitor, you can tell Vitor is on
when
something.
When you saw Vitor in a couple of his fights, he looked pretty good against John Jones, but then definitely with Bisping, I mean, I was really amazed. I was like, wow, that dude, he looked cardiovascular. He looked strong, quick. I mean, he was on a tear, and it's like, okay, yeah. And Vitor is known for, and I think he's one of those guys now who's done so much in the past that if he does get off it like Overeem, he falls way below.
Yes, yeah,
right?
Because that's the other thing is that, again, and we go back to this every time for people who aren't up on this part of the sport, if you do not only TRT, but if you cheat in other ways, taking actual steroids that aren't okayed by the UFC, eventually you've tricked your body to the point that if you stop taking that stuff, it drops you well below the 270 range,
right,
which is dangerous for any male that would be competing in anything other than sitting down. So Vitor, and to your point, Overeem, who now has dangerously low testosterone levels, are now on TRT essentially to perform at the normal level. However, as you just alluded to, whatever Vitor is doing, he looks much better than a guy who's got a dangerously low testosterone
level.
Yeah,
he doesn't even look like he's, what, how old is he now?
35, 36?
35, yeah. And, well, his body, you know, he's looking like he's 22 again. It's pretty scary.
It is pretty scary. But what if you're Luke Rockhold, you're going in here, what's your mindset? Because you know that he's on this.
This would be my mindset. If I was his trainer, I'd say, listen, this guy is beatable, okay? He is beatable. And when you've got someone who has skills, okay, who came kind of close to submitting John Jones and all that, you know, he's fast hands. When you've got, and he's on TRT, if you can get in his head physically, get in his head and let him know, like, hey, I'm not just as, I'm stronger, I'm better than you. That would be his edge. And you know what? Rockhold, for those of you that don't know who he is, that guy's a dark horse, man.
And he always has been. He's,
dude,
let's remember,
he's bad. He is a bad boy.
He's 10-1, and I know that some people look at Strikeforce records and think, oh, you're 10-1 in Strikeforce. But Rockhold performed at the highest level the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
There were no tomato cans that Rockhold fought. You know, yes, there's a big, we know that there's a difference between Strikeforce fighters and UFC fighters, for sure. But Rockhold, much like Melendez, was kind of at that upper echelon the entire time. So this is a guy who's battle-tested, and I'm excited to see him, but I do feel bad knowing that you're going in there with a guy who clearly has an exemption you don't have, and that's something else mentally, which is, in my mind, 80% of the UFC game, you know, to get over and, like you said, impose your will in one facet or another to kind of just say, like you did, I can hit harder, or I can take you down faster, or I can get out of your submission attempts.
Right.
And all of those will begin to wear at Belfort's mental state.
I would say the best thing to do is put your mindset and tell yourself, my opponent needs that TRT. I don't. He needs that to perform at my level. That would be his best approach.
And we'll see what happens on Saturday night. The co-main event, going to be another Strikeforce transport in Jacare. He will be taking on late replacement Chris Camozzi. This is going to be a fun one for fans of Jacare, and I know you and I are both fans of Jacare.
Dude. I love it.
Camozzi coming in this as a late replacement and a huge underdog with nothing to lose. So that, A, makes it fun for Camozzi because he's kind of a gamer in that regard.
Yeah.
However, everybody loves watching Jacare just dispatch people, and I believe on Saturday night you're going to see a very fun dispatching. He's fallen in love. If you don't know him, he's ridiculous. Ridiculous on the ground.
Jiu-jitsu
However,
is insane, man.
It's insane. I mean, it's on another level and very, very fun to watch. However, he's recently fallen in love with his hands that are doing a lot of really great work. And this is a guy that, as late as he is in his career, if you've been following the whole career, the Pride, the Strikeforce, all of that stuff, arriving in the UFC at a perfect time when his game has evolved yet again, this should be a fun welcome present for him to kind of get back in the UFC.
The only thing that could happen to him, and we've seen it time and time again, I think Rogan did a special on it, the jitters.
The jitters could certainly do it.
The jitters is the only thing that can make Jacare lose this fight. Other than that, if he gets over the jitters, I don't see how it could go. I mean, I think he'll do just fine. But, I mean, when you get a jiu-jitsu guy at his level, they typically usually have a black belt in judo as well. Their wrestling, no matter where you go around the world, if it's not American wrestling, it's not the same. We all know that.
Sure.
So now his hands are getting good, his Muay Thai, everything's getting great. I think, you know, now that is, you know, all that's the last missing, you know, piece of the puzzle for him would be American style wrestling. He gets that involved into his game, man, we got ourselves a good champion coming around the corner.
Also on the card, Rafael Dos Anjos taking on Evan Dunham. Another great jiu-jitsu battle of two guys who, Rafael, I think, has better hands than Evan Dunham, but on the ground, I think they're about equal, if not Evan Dunham getting a slight nod as far as the jiu-jitsu. I don't know what your opinion is on those guys, but,
you know, Dunham, I hate to say this, man, but this might be make or break for him.
It should be, for sure. I mean, he
had some steam.
He had
a little something going there,
yep.
And then he got derailed a little bit, and then we haven't really heard from him. You know, he's kind of been a prelimmer and here and there, so I don't know, man.
It's scary. You know, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. They cut another 9 fighters while you were gone, and you're at this point where you're looking at this card, which not very stacked, but it's free, and they're all going to be great fights, but you know, once you get below Jacare, you're thinking to yourself, they still have, let's say, 86 more fighters they need to get rid of before December. You know, so, everything is wide open, and it's not necessarily, as Ken has always said, not necessarily that they're cutting you for good, but if you're a guy like, we'll go back to the John Fitch example because it's the best example. If you're a guy like John Fitch, who was a contender, then ranked 9th and going in the wrong direction, getting $80,000 per fight is pretty expensive for the UFC, so you cut a guy like that to either re-sign him at a lower rate, or you send him off to wherever he goes. And he went to the World Series of Fighting, and that's kind of a wrap for that. But you're going to see a lot of that with these guys, especially the Evan Dunhams of the world, that take a quick break and leave and come back. I'm not sure about a guy like Leonard Garcia.
Garcia, yeah.
You know, just because his record was so bad, and I think the damage that he took, it's scary.
I mean, he was an entertaining fighter.
Certainly entertaining, but very scary to watch, you know. Taking that many poundings.
Yeah, I don't think, it's sad to say, but he could always do some sort of a turnaround. But, you know, I think once you develop your style, you're kind of that way. And for him to, you know.
He was, what, 2-9, right?
I forget what it was,
2-7 or 2-9, but I mean, you've
And nothing against Cody McKenzie, but it was safe to say before that Leonard should have won that fight.
Yes.
And hey, hats off to Cody. He did what he had to do.
And you don't want to talk about a dark horse in the UFC. There's a dark horse.
Every
time he shows up, you're like, wait, they still hire him?
And then he throws a kick, you're like, how is that kick allowed in the UFC? Like, you know, I'm sure Joe Rogan's like, no, that's illegal. You can't throw a kick like that.
All going to be on FX on Saturday night. Remember, you can follow along with all of the results on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos. When we come back, the UFC fighter contract. It's next on Way of the Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA. And I will get into the UFC fighter contracts here in a second. But since there is news, I figured we would do this because I know this is your favorite part of the show.
This week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'm afraid of you, man. Are you crazy in the head now?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
All right, this week in George St. Pierre, if you're a if you're a Monsters, Inc. fan, you know that there's a sequel coming out called Monster University. Nice. And if you're a George St. Pierre fan, really quickly, he has lent his voice to one of the characters for the French version of the film that will come out. So if you're in Montreal or Quebec and you want to watch the film, you'll be able to see George St. Pierre as one of the characters.
Is he getting typecast?
As a French monster? I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, I'm really interested to see... after seeing him on the Rogan podcast, if you haven't watched The Striking Truth, another great documentary with George, you get an insight into kind of what kind of a person he is. I'm interested to see if he can make that transition to that Captain America movie. Because if he can do that, you know, that's a perfect thing for a guy who has, for all intents and purposes, I should say, has sacrificed a lot to be in this sport and deserves to go off and be the French Canadian version of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, you know, The Rock did the same thing. Yeah. Worked his ass off in the WWE, did all of this work for them, and then, you know, Hollywood found him, and he's been able to come back and kind of just do whatever, but has had this awesome career being in G.I. Joe and starring in the Fast and the Furious, the last couple movies, and I think George certainly deserves that as the guy on the company right now who... could essentially take the place as the Hollywood face that Randy Couture was for the Expendables, but if he can do a good job, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's take Mark Wahlberg, remember his first movie, and then you know, his acting got so much better, and you know, and here was he was the Funky Bunch dude, or
yes,
whatever.
Marky
that
Mark
was.
Of the Funky Bunch.
There you go. Yeah, he was that guy, and so everyone was like, oh, "What a joke!" And now look at him.
Right.
Executive producer of like everything on HBO.
Yes, if it's on HBO, he's got his hands in it, for sure.
So I think GSP is making the right moves, man. Hey, dude, I'm gonna go watch The Leaper or whatever it is.
Yes,
or
Captain America.
Captain America.
Yes.
There you go.
With The Leaper.
With The Leaper.
So earlier this week, the UFC did something interesting. They have long been a company that has protected the bottom line. By that, they don't really release pay-per-view numbers. You can kind of guess. There's a couple guys out there, Dave Meltzer, one of the best in the business, who can kind of guess where we are in pay-per-view buys. And the contract has long been a thing that they have protected. You haven't really gotten to see it. They did release the code of conduct when the Mitrione situation came up. They released the insurance when that came up. You know, what's this insurance going to look like? Here you go. You can look at the insurance. This week, they've released... a version of what a fighter contract looks like. And there's a lot of very interesting things in there. And I know you've got a number of fighters under your roster that are doing a various sundry of things with various promotions. And you were saying before we started the show that as they get better, these contracts get longer. And
they do.
If you don't know, essentially when you start on the pro level, the fight is you versus whom, where, when, and how much, right?
Pretty much,
essentially.
Yep.
And then as they get longer and longer, there's more things added in.
Yep.
There's a couple of really interesting things in this contract that I think is fascinating. Number one is if you fight on a UFC card, they own that fight and your rights for perpetuity, forever.
Right.
They can use it forever, which is an interesting thing to think about. It makes a lot of sense. It's the only content that they essentially own. But as a contracted fighter, if you set foot in that octagon, they own that footage and can do whatever they want forever and ever. Now, that said, you get some royalties from that. You get royalties from DVD sales. If you're in a video game, you get royalties from that. But if... we'll use Hoyce Gracie as an excellent example. In EA's 2027 version of UFC, the fighting game, Hoyce could be an unlockable character 30 years from now.
Right.
And that's something that really is unheard of. Like, in the NFL, they have to go get Barry Sanders to get him on the cover of Madden. It's not like they have the rights, at least as far as I know, NFL contracts, for Barry to be used at all without Barry saying, yep, you could totally use me. Whereas if he was a UFC fighter... they could put Hoyce on the cover of whatever they want to, and per this contract.
So even if the dude passes away, if he's dead.
Dead doesn't help you at all. They own you for perpetuity.
I would just hope those royalties go to the family members.
I'm sure they would go somewhere.
That's
you know,
all I got to think about.
But you're right.
I mean, it's, you know, hey, look, UFC is, and I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, UFC is definitely laying down platforms. Not just platforms. Let's just call it a formula, like step by step on what you need to do if you want to be a fighter, and then what you need to do to be a UFC fighter. They're really laying it down.
And there's a huge difference.
Oh yeah,
just those two sentences alone, there's a huge difference. Let's use any one of your fighters. It doesn't matter. Right now they're training to be a fighter.
Right.
Their job is to show up at the gym, put the work in for the camp that they're doing, go do their business, and then repeat as necessary. Rinse, cycle, repeat.
Shampoo
of fighters. In the UFC, if you look at these contracts, they're helping you, and you asked about this before we started, they're helping you build a brand, and you're helping them build an empire. That's the difference. And you asked about Facebook and Twitter, and every single month they give out bonuses for somebody who is the most active and getting not only the most followers and likes, but the most conversation and the most buzz about whatever it is that they're doing.
Man.
You know, when you look at a guy like Joe Lozon, who's doing all of this cool stuff, he's off, training to fight off zombies because that's what he's into. But he's doing all of these things within his little brand. And he's a guy that people love to see in the octagon. But outside of the octagon, he plays Call of Duty with the fans.
Yeah.
He puts out these videos. You know, so you're building something that's much, much different than even boxers. I mean, boxers don't have to do this much work promotionally.
No, actually, boxers don't have to lift a finger. All I have to do is, there's two approaches in boxing, in my opinion. It's just an opinion. You can be, you can just run your mouth, or you can show off your skills, and that's it. I mean, those are your two types of boxers. It sucks to watch two guys being very polite to each other fight. That's the essential formula of boxing. Now, with all this stuff with Twitter and stuff like that, with UFC, it really, Nick Diaz could definitely take a page out of this book, because maybe he should have hired somebody like GSP to handle his Twitter account.
Yeah, well, and when you talk about promotion, they're calling it all over the web, and we'll call it here on the show. It's the Nick Diaz clause. It is in the contract now that your job is to promote the fight.
Self-promote these days. I mean, when I say self-promote, I don't mean like you. And I mean, you got to get your name out there. So whether you hire a team to do this, you do it yourself, if you've got the time, I get all that. But it's a good indication of letting you know where we're going as far as just in all kinds of business. I mean, social media, if you're one of those guys who are like, I don't have a Twitter, I don't have a Facebook, you're missing out on a big, big, picture here.
You're missing out on that, and you're clearly not part of their plan.
No.
They don't want a guy who doesn't have a Facebook and a Twitter account. They want a guy. You can say what you want about Chael Sonnen, okay? But let's remember, essentially, he's lost to two of the greatest fighters on planet Earth.
Yep.
When it's all said and done, however he got in that fight with John Jones, doesn't matter. He lost to John Jones and Anderson Silva. Prior to that, he was a grade A student, an honor student in the UFC contract with promoting the fights and getting people interested in these fights. And that's the model. No, you don't need to talk. I'm not advocating for you to talk your way into fights you don't deserve. But once you're in a fight, you better be talking to make it interesting. And it doesn't have to be I hate you, you hate me.
Right.
But there's got to be some sort of interest, whatever it is. Look at Bisping and Belcher betting cars on the line and haircuts and tattoos. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, it gets people involved.
They took their little war off to the side. Let Sonnen and Jones do their thing, but off to the side, we're going to have this other thing going on. So if you're not into that thing, here's another thing going on that we're kind of working towards to make sure that you have another interest in putting the $60 down for the pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, it's in that contract, so...
Yes,
And if you sign it, you got
to
go.
And then the interesting thing, and the one last thing I want to talk about before we go to the next segment, is the payment. Now,
Where it gets tricky, right?
For me anyway, because it's weird for me to understand. There's a rudimentary paragraph of essentially how a fighter's contract would work. And so essentially we'll use round numbers. And it says if you win fights one and fights two, your pay for fight three will be $80,000. If you win fight three, your pay for four will be $85,000. If you lose any combination of those, you essentially get stuck in the prior pay schedule,
the 80
or below or whatever, which is interesting for a guy like me who has a job that's a little bit more linear. I take a check every 2 weeks and it doesn't matter if I have a terrible week or a terrible day, that doesn't affect my pay. It's interesting to look at a contract like that I get is performance based. But even in the NFL, if you're a football player who has a terrible outing, they don't take money away from you if you have a terrible outing in the game.
Right.
And I know there's a team aspect to it, but there are very many cases in the NFL where you can say, that's the dude that made us lose the game.
Usually it's those kickers, right?
It's always the kicker. It's always the kicker. But that's the guy that made you
lose. He makes every field goal season long, but come playoffs or Super Bowl, he misses
it. It's always wide right. Talk me through how this whole thing kind of works.
Okay, so I'm going to use simpler numbers. I'll just use 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 because it's the easier way to think about it.
Way less sexy, though.
Yeah,
I'd rather get 80, but go ahead.
Okay, we can say 100,000, 200,000.
Perfect. Let's do that. Yeah, I like those numbers.
All right, so. If let's say you sign on, and I got to look more deep into that UFC contract, but typically a mid-range level promotion level pro series would be somewhere along the lines. Let's say you go in, he's like, all right, $100,000 for your first fight. If you win, your pay will go. They'll do 100 and 100, you know, like a split.
Yep.
100 to show and 100 to win. If you win, you get 200,000. That does not mean you get 200,000 for your next fight. It's not guaranteed, but in your contract, it'll say, okay, your first fight was 100,000. Your second fight will be at 200,000. If you win, then you get another 200,000 bonus.
Gotcha.
So now you have 400. So then when you go to your third fight, it's 300,000. So 3 and 3, 4 and 4. So you see where I'm going
at,
right? Now here's the part where maybe some people might not understand. If you're at the 200,000 range, all right, and you're fighting, and let's say you lose. You're only losing your bonus. You're guaranteed your show, so you get your $200,000.
Right.
That's not necessarily going backwards, because going backwards would be like, oh, no, you're only getting $100,000. You're like, wait, my show money was for another $100,000. Why are you taking 50% away? That other $100,000, that's your bonus. If you get it, great. If you don't, that's fine. Then let's say you go to your next fight, that would be your third fight for $300,000. Well, technically, you don't advance, but let's say you and your opponent both start at the same level.
Sure.
And then he's fighting for that 300, and it's going for your third fight, but because you didn't win, you're still stuck at your 200.
Yes.
So you have to keep winning to keep earning. But if you lose, you don't go bull. You don't start all the way back to the 100 grand.
You're
at that level.
It's interesting to see a contract constructed in a way that intentionally puts the pressure on you to perform at your highest level, period. The only way that you...
I think all contracts are that way, though.
Yes, but not...
All fighting contracts.
Yes, but that's interesting for a layman to take a look at. Because imagine if... And I'm saying this not because it's bad or good, but because it's an interesting look in what fighters have to go through. Imagine, if you will, if you had to come, and you're probably not the right person to say this.
No. I'll be totally...
Imagine if I had to come to work every single day... 365 days a year and put on an A-plus performance, or I went back to yesterday's pay grade, essentially. That's something that I don't think a lot of people see when they look at the pay-per-view. They see two dudes go in there, punch each other, get sweaty, and get paid. But when you think about it, the contract is constructed that if there are ramifications, ginormous financial ramifications, if you lose that bout at all for any reason.
Well, I mean, if we're just strictly talking about purses, The biggest thing that you got to think about is, you know, you won't get the win bonus. You're just stuck at whatever purse you're guaranteed for your show money. So we were talking earlier about Christmas bonuses. So you have a regular job. Let's say you have to meet certain numbers, quotas, whatever.
Sure.
To earn that Christmas bonus. If you're that guy's like, you know what? I made enough this year. I'm fine. I don't need to put in the extra whatever to get the bonus. Then you don't get the bonus. You get your whatever your salary is for that year. For those that do, you get the bonus. But then when the next year comes around, you know, if you want that bonus, and obviously bonuses also, you know, hey, this guy's working hard, you get a raise.
Right.
But if this guy, for let's say 3 years straight, he's like, no, I'm good, I'm happy with the salary, and he's just that average guy who's just happy with his salary, that's it. His salary is the same. So, like, the only difference is with fighting, if let's say you come in strong, you win like three fights in a row.
Right.
And then you lose your next three fights. Well, you only reached halfway point of your paychecks, so you were just stuck there. You never got any bonuses, and then eventually you get fired. You know,
yes.
that's the difference.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
but like, let's say you had a regular job, and your job says, "Hey, your job here is full time, but it's only for 5 years." Let's say you only do really well and you kick butt for three of those 5 years. In those last 2 years, if they see you not doing the same, they have the right to be like, you know what? Your performance is much under par now. We're going to cut you out. I mean,
yes,
I can see that happening.
You certainly could. The difference, and I'll do this very quickly, the difference is in my job, I'm not paying a team of people below me to make me better. And so, you know, one of the things that always gets lost when we have this discussion is there's a coach, there's a team, there's a bunch of people that need to be paid for.
You're crying to the wrong person.
You know, but no, I'm not crying. I'm saying that.
No,
like,
but I mean, I feel your pain on that one.
There are huge ramifications if you lose, because you got to pay for all of the stuff, the flight, the travel, the food, all of that sort of stuff. When we come back, we'll talk about how that stuff can cost you a great deal if you like the Mary Jane. I know. We'll do it next. It's Way of the
Follow
Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA. We had a great fight a couple weeks back between Jim Miller and Pat Healy, making his transplant over to the UFC for one last time. And then it turns out the way the UFC works, we were just talking about the contract in Section 2, is that the bonuses that you get that Sean was referring to, the Christmas bonuses you get after each fight, are dependent on you passing a drug test. And Pat Healy did not. He tested positive for pot and was dinged $130,000 in bonuses.
The Strike Force guy struck out.
Right. So, and the fight obviously goes to a no contest because Pat Healy submitted Jim Miller, so you can't rightly give Jim Miller the win since he got submitted. But it brings up an interesting question. We were talking in segment one about TRT and something needs to be done with this. Uh-huh. And I am a guy who has never had an interest in pot at all on any level. However, I think it may be one of the dumbest things on earth that we treat it as a performance-enhancing drug in this sport. I just think $130,000 for testing positive is... it's not as insane as, what, the $900,000 for Julio Chavez Jr.? I mean, that was...
Well, because there was just more money involved in that fight.
But it's still a stupid amount of money.
It is.
Stupid.
It is. You know what? I think, and you know, overall, you have banned substances. And I think performing enhancing drugs and any other type of banned substance like marijuana, cocaine, you name it, and they all fall under the same umbrella. So, you know, I don't understand why a fighter would want to, you know, get high or have it in their system within, you know,
sure,
and when that's your primary job, you know, and that's your money and that's what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, it,
but to me that seems like a much different argument. And
it is a different argument.
You know, when you're dealing with marijuana, there are many states in the union where it's totally legal.
Yeah,
there are most of the states in the union where you can get a medicinal marijuana card. So unlike cocaine, it's not really black and white. I can't get a medical cocaine license, at least as far as I know. And so you're dealing with something that has a lot of gray associated with it. And to me, if it's, let's say the UFC is fighting in Denver, where it's legal, totally legal, recreationally.
The UFC brings their own guidelines to Denver, too.
Yes,
right?
But let's just have this argument for sake of having it.
I'll be the bad guy in this one, okay?
I get that.
All right.
If it's legal there in the same way that tobacco is legal.
Then I'm smoking it.
And alcohol is legal. Right. No. So why wouldn't we test for the other two then? And if they had alcohol in their system or tobacco in their system in the last couple days?
Because the other two are more legal. that's basically what it comes down to, man.
And if it's more legal, can we adjust the fine to more accurately reflect what the crime actually is? $130,000 for a guy who's first fight in the UFC in how long? I mean, $130,000 you lost. And this is not the UFC. They have no choice. This is the Athletic Commission that makes these decisions. Dana White has long said that the fines against Chavez Jr. were ridiculous. The fine here is ridiculous. But like you said, a banned substance is a banned substance. My hope is that if you're a fighter, whatever the reason is that you do it, it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter.
I guess I just wish if you're going to say it's a banned substance, let's treat it a little bit differently than cocaine.
Exactly. The only thing is I think because it's a more reoccurring offense.
But it seems to me like the ding would be against them.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of people.
But the only reason I can think of, you know, in my opinion, is that it's a reoccurring offense, and so they're just trying to make examples by longer suspensions and higher fines, so that other people who are on it for whatever reasons, maybe they'll be like, hey, maybe I should kind of, you know, clean this up before my next fight. That's the only thing I can think of, honestly.
I can understand that, but I think when you look at the way that this is going, it's going the wrong direction.
It is.
It is not I'm sorry. And you can send me emails and call me whatever you want to call me and say I don't understand the sport, whatever you want to say. If you're somebody who is at the highest level smoking pot, I think you've got totally different issues. As a violation of the rules, I think it's not even in the same ballpark as somebody who takes steroids. You know, Alistair Overeem gets popped for steroids. How long was he suspended?
What was it, 9 months?
9 months. Yeah. Nick Diaz busted for marijuana. How long was he suspended? 9 months. That's right. Yeah. You're going to tell me it's the same? So why wouldn't I do steroids then?
Yeah, you might have better outcomes and
results.
Right.
I might pass the test then. I mean, that's the lesson you're teaching me is all cheating is equal when it really isn't.
Yeah, I see what you're saying because the performance is not fitting the crime and things like that. I get it. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to go into I want to stick with this argument, but what, I mean, why, I get it for medical reasons.
You can't, well, look.
Weed is just different, dude.
It is. It's certainly different. And I just think when you look at a guy like Pat Healy, who that's clearly a huge knock to his financial
situation.
Dude,
if someone took 130 grand away from me, you know, but if I'm breaking the rules, then you know what? Shame on me, man. You know what I mean? And
right,
it sucks.
But
it
again,
sucks.
You know, you hear the stories from Nick Diaz and take that for what you mean or what you may. It really depends. You're dealing with a natural occurring substance. So its intensity can vary from plant to plant. So maybe one week you stop 2 weeks out and it was fine. But this one, you got a different version and 2 weeks out isn't enough. And. Man, I don't know.
And then the other side, you know, the flip side of this coin, I can be like, idiot, why'd you smoke marijuana? You shouldn't have done it, Pat. You deserve it. You know, I mean, you can go that route too. You know?
Certainly could, and maybe he does deserve it because he broke the rules, but I just think a 9-month suspension that rivals what Alistair Overeem went through is not okay.
It's
and
not.
$130,000 or, you know, the percentage of the boxing purse, $900,000 for marijuana.
You know, I would really like to know how that individual, you know, Pat and Chavez, I really like to know their opinion on it. If they're like, you know what, yeah. It's whatever. I'm going to still keep doing it. And if they keep finding me, who cares? Or they're like, man, I wish I didn't do it. I want to know if they have any regrets or not. I mean, just because it's 130 grand or $900,000, you know, you don't know what the person's thinking upstairs in their head. So you don't know if they have any regrets for it or not. Like Nick Diaz, to me, doesn't seem like he has much regret when he gets dinged for marijuana.
No, but, you know, let's look at it this way. You know, we broadcast from the city of Grand Rapids. That's where the home base of the show is. If you and I go outside right now and get busted for smoking on the corner,
right,
it's a $25 fine. It's a misdemeanor.
Man. So the Athletic Commission is a higher law in this
than the United States of America. Yes, that's kind of where we're going here. You should know that. All right, when we come back, we'll break down the rest of the UFC news and get you ready for UFC on FX as we go to see Vitor Belfort and Luke Rockhold go mano a mano. It's Way of the Warrior brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos. It's Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, rocking out some 21 Pilots as we wrap the show up. As always, you can get the show on iTunes or as part of the Fight Fans Radio Network. Big thanks to them for carrying the show. And a big thanks to Gun Lake Casino for being an awesome sponsor. Make sure you are nice to them. Go visit them. Go say hi. Do all of that stuff. All right. So we talked earlier about Pat Healy getting busted for pot. And is that fitting? You know, his fine, does that fit the crime? And then no sooner do we talk about that than the Diaz brothers decide to make an insane situation even more insane. Now, next week, we're rumored to have Bruce Buffer to talk about his book, It's Time, My 360 View of the UFC. And I read it in one sitting. It's a fascinating story. However, I think clearly if you wrote a book about the Diaz brothers, it would be far more fascinating because what happened yesterday defies any sort of logic. Now, Pat Healy has no connection to the Diaz brothers, and obviously Jim Miller has no connection to the Diaz brothers. That doesn't stop Nate Diaz, find him on Twitter at NateDiaz209, from tweeting, "I feel bad for Pat Healy. They took an innocent man's money, and I think the guy who took the money is the biggest blank in the world." Now, Brian Caraway, not really a nice guy. There's a million things that you could say about him that don't need to be a homophobic slur. And first of all, you have no connection to the story, so I don't even know why you're tweeting about it, but you did. And then, to make matters worse, his manager, his new manager, decided to make sure that it was the dumbest story of the day by trying to explain that the word that they used in Northern California means something different than it means everywhere else. So instead of a homophobic slur, it means you're a bitch, which I don't think makes the situation better. In fact, it makes it a lot worse. Now, as we stand, Dana White is furious, and that's what Dana White does, is he gets furious, and he is saying that as of right now, Nate Diaz is suspended indefinitely. He will be fined, and if they decide that on top of the fine that's not enough, they're going to wipe themselves of the Diaz brothers altogether, and he will be cut, which might time perfectly with brother Nick's launching of his MMA promotion. And if you want an inside look to the MMA promotion that Nick is launching, there is no better look than the Tommy Tolhold episode from this week, so make sure you check that out. But as we wait, the UFC says that they are very disappointed by Nate's comments, and they are no way reflective of the organization. Nate is currently suspended and pending an internal investigation, and we will provide further comment once that matter has been decided. So as we wait right now, could be any number of things, but he's suspended, he will be fined, and if after that they decide to cut him, they will cut him. I don't understand these guys. I love watching them fight. I don't get what they do outside of the octagon. Clearly, in Stockton, there's something in the water that just makes you go absolutely bat crazy. Because this story, as Sean and I were talking about, the fine doesn't justify the crime. We talked about that. On top of all that, the Diaz brothers have to jump in the fray and get their voice heard. So we will wait and see what happens to Nate Diaz. And for now, that's what we'll have to do. Remember, you can follow the show all weekend long on Twitter and on Facebook by searching Wow Show as we wait for UFC on FX, Rockhold, and Belfort. And as we spent most of the show talking about marijuana, it's interesting to point out that WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, recently upped their standards for a positive test from 15 nanograms per milliliter to 150 nanograms per milliliter, which significantly reduces the likelihood of detection for athletes who use the drug. So if they're doing that, again, going back to segment three, I think there needs to be somebody taking a look at how society is changing. And Mark Ratner has said this as much. And again, we've talked about it for the last couple weeks. Hopefully when they have their new meeting coming this summer, this will be one of the things that they get involved in. At one point, there was some supposition as what George St. Pierre is going to do next. When he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, he pretty much cleared that all up. He's going to fight Johnny Hendricks. And an interview with Freddie Roach, he says the following. Next opponent is Hendricks. He's a southpaw with a good punch. They've got tape on Hendricks and working to nullify what he does. We've got the game plan pretty much down and we're working on it. He's always looking for the big shot. He's a veteran wrestler, of course, a good wrestler, but he doesn't even like to wrestle. He depends on that big left hand, and he doesn't want it to go to the ground much. He's, quote, not real difficult to figure out. And he goes on to say that George St. Pierre was sick during the Nick Diaz fight, and so you'll see a spryer, brighter, quicker, sharper George St. Pierre as he takes on Johnny Hendricks. And some quick John Jones news. He says he may fight twice more this year because he wants to break that light heavyweight record. And once he's done that, I think it's time for him to head up to heavyweight, which should be very, very interesting. I know a lot of us are waiting for him to make that move. But before he does that, wants to break the record and then move up. But two more times this year, despite that crazy foot injury, his healing powers are nothing short of ridiculous. And you will see them tested two more times this year, I guess. Tomorrow night, UFC on FX from Brazil, Belfort and Rockhold, Jacare and Chris Camozzi, Rafael dos Anjos and Evan Dunham. All of that goes on, and then the prelim bouts on Fuel as well as Facebook. Make sure you follow along on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. We're very easy to find, and that is on purpose. As always, show brought to you by our friends at Gun Lake Casino and run by our friends at the Fight Fans Radio Network. Follow them on Twitter and on Facebook, and make sure you get the show off their site, fightfansradio.com. It is Way of the Warrior. We, my friends, will catch you next week. Oh.